Welcome to Open ELMS Podcast, turning your learning into a conversation. Today, we're diving into an absolutely foundational text, the Book of Genesis.
I'm so excited. Genesis is called the Book of Beginnings for a reason. It sets the stage for, well, everything. It's not just history, it's theology, literature, it's all in there.
Exactly. It gives us the origins of the world, humanity, and that core concept of the covenant relationship between God and humankind. It's the bedrock for so many themes we see later on.
So let's start at the very beginning. The creation story. It's so majestic, isn't it? The way it unfolds over 6 days.
It really is. So structured. Day one, light and darkness. Day two, the sky. Day three, land and plants. It's this incredibly orderly progression from chaos to a perfect, purposeful universe.
And it all culminates in humanity. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. A perfect paradise, perfect harmony, with just one rule.
Yes, the one rule. Do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And of course, that's where the serpent comes in.
The great temptation. And with that one act of disobedience, the fall, everything changes. Suddenly there's sin, suffering, death. They're expelled from the garden.
And the consequences are immediate and devastating. You see it in the very next generation with their sons, Cain and Abel.
Wow, yes. The first murder. It's such a raw and powerful story about jealousy. God favors Abel's offering, Cain gets consumed by resentment, and he kills his own brother.
It shows how quickly that sin introduced in the garden just spreads and escalates into violence. It's a dark turn, leading to God's grief over humanity's wickedness.
Which brings us to the Great Flood, the big reset button. God decides to cleanse the world, but finds one righteous man, Noah, to save.
A total reset. But you know, even after wiping the slate clean, human nature finds a way. That brings us straight to the Tower of Babel.
Such a fascinating story of human pride. They all get together and say, let's build a tower that reaches the heavens and make a name for ourselves.
Exactly. It's this act of unified defiance against God's plan for them to spread out and fill the earth. So God's response isn't destruction this time. It's confusion.
You know, I find that so interesting. The text frames it as thwarting their rebellion, but it's also a direct mechanism to achieve his original plan. He confuses their language, so they have to disperse. It's almost like a divine course correction.
That's a great way to put it. It is a course correction. And out of that very dispersion, God's plan narrows, focusing on one single man, Abram, later renamed Abraham.
The call of Abraham. This is a massive turning point. God tells him to leave his home, his family, everything he knows, and go to a land he's never seen.
And he does it, based purely on a promise. And what a promise, that he'll become a great nation, and that through him, all the families of the earth would be blessed.
But that faith is tested in the most extreme way imaginable. After finally having his promised son, Isaac, in his old age, God commands him to sacrifice him.
I can't even fathom that. It's the ultimate test of faith and obedience. And at the very last second, God intervenes, providing a ram instead. It's an incredibly tense, powerful story.
It really is. And that lineage continues through Isaac, but oh, the family drama that follows. His twin sons, Jacob and Esau, their rivalry is legendary.
Oh, absolutely. It starts before they're even born. You have Esau, the hunter, and Jacob, the quiet one. Jacob cons his brother out of his birthright for a bowl of stew.
For a bowl of stew! And then he deceives their blind father to steal Esau's blessing. It's like something out of a play. It causes this huge rift, and Jacob has to flee for his life.
And that theme of sibling rivalry, jealousy, and betrayal gets turned up to 11 in the next generation, with Jacob's favorite son, Joseph.
Joseph! The dreamer with the coat of many colors. His brothers were already jealous, but when he starts having dreams about them all bowing down to him, that was the last straw.
It really was. They conspire against him, and instead of killing him, they sell him into slavery. Just an unbelievable act of betrayal. He's taken to Egypt, and you think his story is over.
But it's just the beginning of this incredible, amazing rags-to-riches story. He endures so much slavery, false accusations, prison, but he never loses his faith.
And his gift of interpreting dreams is what saves him. He interprets Pharaoh's dreams of a coming famine, and Pharaoh is so impressed, he makes Joseph second in command of all of Egypt.
From prison to power, it's incredible. He wisely stores grain during the years of plenty, saving not just Egypt, but all the surrounding lands when the famine hits.
And then, Pushanda Bidaman, moment of truth. His brothers, the very ones who sold him, come to Egypt desperate for food. They come and bow before him, not having a clue who he is.
The fulfillment of the dream, the tension in those scenes where he tests them, is just palpable. Until he finally reveals himself. It must have been an incredibly emotional reunion.
Completely. And the most powerful part is that he chooses forgiveness over revenge. He tells them, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to save many lives."
Wow. That one line just perfectly encapsulates the theme of redemption that runs through the whole book. It brings his entire family to Egypt, setting the stage for everything that comes next.
It's the perfect ending for the Book of Beginnings. It takes us from the creation of the cosmos, through the fall of man, and all the way to this powerful moment of reconciliation and hope. An amazing journey.
Truly amazing. What a foundation for everything that follows.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you for joining us on the Open ELMS podcast, and we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.